like to work through with you today Appendix C, which shows how to use the plotting and fitting programs on the Linux system. So to start with, I'm going to need a terminal to run all these commands. You'll see that in Linux we really like to be typing commands as opposed to using a graphical user interface, a GUI, basically because it turns out to be a faster way of doing things. So it'll be helpful if I make a subdirectory that contains all of the stuff we're working on. So I'm going to make a directory. Mkdir makes a directory, and I'll call this directory 370. So I've made that directory, and now I can change into that directory. CD stands for change directory. And we'll see that there is nothing in this directory currently. ls list or dir for directory shows that there's nothing in there currently. This is just saying that we could use the current directory or go up to if we wanted to. Now you're probably more used to kind of a GUI sort of situation, and this, if I use this file browser, I can do much the same things. I've got a lot of files in my directory, so this probably look a lot worse than it did for you. So here's this file browser, and here's this directory I just made, and you can see there's currently nothing in it. If I wanted to, I could make a subdirectory in here using the usual sort of approach. I could create a folder, for example. Okay, but generally speaking, I don't use this file browser much at all. So what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to copy some files in here that have sample data and sample sets of commands. So if I, the copy command is cp, so if I copy from the location /user/local/physics/help, and then the actual file name is capital LRC.data, so that's the file that I actually want, and I want to copy it to the current location, this 370 subdirectory. So dot represents that spot, and now if I do an ls, you can see I've got not only the junk subdirectory that I made, but also a copy of this LRC data. Now I also want to get the set of commands just to make this convenient, and that's a very similar file name, and if I just up arrow once, twice, I can get that other file, which is called lrc.com, and now I've got a copy of both of those things. And if I want to, I can use this file browser. There they are. If I double click on this, here's our set of data sitting there. This is using a program that's called gedit. Another way I could have gotten there would be using this program, which is called kwrite. And I could kind of do the usual sorts of GUI type stuff. Okay, so what we're told to do is we're going to be running these programs called fit and plot, and they're two totally separate programs, and it's helpful if we have different terminals present for both of them. So if I open a tab, I've got this one over here, and I've got that one over there, and I can run, for example, fit over here, and I can use this other one if I want to run plot. One comment here, you may notice that the focus is different from what it is typically in a Windows system. That is to say, if I move the mouse, the selected window changes spontaneously. I don't need to click in order to make that change happen. The clicking does bring it to the front, but the focus itself is immediately changed just by moving it. That's a pretty common default to have for Linux. Okay, so what we need to do is to read in the data into this program fit, tell fit what the function is, and then do the actual fitting. So I can tell the program what the file is that has the data. That file we know is lrc.data. And once we've told it the name, we can read that data in. You may notice that this line here is printed out to the screen, and that line is the first line in the file. The rest of the lines of the file actually contain data lines. And I can, if I want, print the data that's in the file to the screen. You can see, for example, that last data point, 30,000 hertz and 0.1173, etc. This third column is the error, and the fourth column here is what the function is. And we haven't said what the function is yet, so it's not going to be present. Now, the function for the resonance curve, as described in the manual, is kind of complicated because we have frequency-dependent reactances for the capacitor and the inductor, and frequency-independent reactances for the resistance. And if I want, I can just copy that function right in using this copy and paste. So what I do is I highlight what I want using a left click, and then if I center click, it's automatically moved in. So anytime we do any sort of fitting, we have to give some initial guess of the parameters. And what I've said is that I measured what the inductance and the capacitance and the resistance were of the circuit, and so I can make this reasonable guess as to what the parameters are going to be. And then if I actually want to do a fit, I type fit, and it asks me what parameters do I want to vary in my function, and almost always you want to vary all of the parameters that are in your function, right? So here we have K1, K2, K3, and K4. We don't have K5, K6, K7, K8, or K9. So the ones that we want to vary are K1 through K4. So this is the fit that the program came up with. It's somewhat high, reduced chi-squared, not terribly so. And these are the parameters that it came up with for the resistance, the capacitance, the inductance, voltage value for the circuit. So it would be nice to see what this function looks like with the data. And to do that, we need to plot. So again, plot and fit are two totally separate programs. If I start up plot over here in this other terminal, I can do much the same thing. I'm going to want to set the file, I want to read the data in, need to tell it what the function is. The other thing I need to do is to set the size of the x and y axes so that it fits the data. The function scale does that. And I can say what the label is for the x-axis and the y-axis and the title of it. I can do a border, and I can do data points. And I could do all those commands separately, but I've already highlighted them here in this file of commands, and if I just punch them in by hitting the center mouse button, I can do all of those things more or less simultaneously. So there's the data. Looks like a typical resonance curve. At something a little bit more than 17,000 hertz, we get a big response. At lower frequencies and higher frequencies, we get smaller responses. Now, the function had those four parameters in it, K1 through K4. I need to tell the plotting program what they are. So I need to set K1, K2, K3, K4. I can just highlight K1 through K3 and punch them in. And I can highlight K4 and punch it in. And now I can draw the function curve that is our fit value of the function. So I can see it's a pretty reasonable fit to the function. So once you have a fit, kind of the next issue is what are the errors in those parameters? And that is kind of immediately told to you when you've used a program like WAP. But for nonlinear least squares fitting, it's kind of a more complicated story, and the story is contained in the covariance and curvature matrices. So the program will type those to the screen if I type an S, and there they are. These are 4x4 matrices, and this is the lineup of the columns, this is the lineup of the rows. So the diagonal of this matrix, that would be the K1 diagonal, K2 diagonal, K3 diagonal, K4 diagonal. What the rule says is that the square root of the diagonal elements of the covariance matrix tells you what the error is in the corresponding quantity. So the error in K4 should be the square root of this number here. And that's some sort of nonsense, because the square root of a negative number is imaginary, and the error in K4 certainly has to be real. So something funny is going on here. And what the write-up says is the funny thing that's going on here is that there really aren't four separate adjustable parameters. There are really only three. So if we have four, there are a whole set of possibilities that are exactly equal. So if I get out of this display mode by typing no, I can put in the proper value of the function. And again, I could type this in by hand, but here's what the proper function is with just three adjustable parameters, and here's an initial guess. One of the nice things about this version of the function is that the parameters have kind of more immediate values. So K3, for example, is this resonant frequency, about 17,000 hertz, and so there's my guess as to what that resonance frequency is. So now if I do a fit, I just have three parameters, and this is my new estimate for what those parameters are. And if I do a screen dump of the covariance matrices, now you can see that the diagonal elements are all positive. So for example, the error in K3 should be the square root of 16.16 times 100. Square root of 16 is 4, so evidently the resonant frequency is 17605 plus or minus 4. There's another way of finding errors, and if I do get out of this and do a bootstrap, what bootstrapping does is it does a repeated set of fits. In this case, it's doing, I think, 25 separate fits. So this is the first value it got for the parameters. This is the second value it got for the parameters. So it's done that repeatedly, and on average, this is what it got for the parameters. And the deviation among those various fits is given by these numbers. So by this bootstrap criteria, we have pretty much the same best value, 17605. But now instead of plus or minus 4, it's plus or minus 8. Kind of no surprise, errors are often different by a factor of 2, and you might remember that we didn't have all that interesting reduced chi-squared when we started. Now, if I were to plot this function, it really is going to look identical to the other one, because there really are just three adjustable parameters, not the four that we used to make this curve. But if you look at this curve, you can see that something is interesting is happening there and there. There's kind of a jump in the curve. And you might notice that that's happening when the current is 0.003. It turns out that the particular meter we use to measure these currents undergoes a scale change when it goes from below 3s to over 3s. More commonly, meters change at 2, but this particular meter changes at 3. And what's involved here is almost certainly an artifact of that scale change, not a real effect. One of the things we know for sure happens when you change scale is the internal resistance of the meter changes. Also, there may be a calibration shift between the scale that's used for these larger currents and the scale that's used for these smaller currents. In any case, I would claim pretty certainly that this is some sort of artifact, not a real thing. So I might want to fit the data not using all of the data, but just using the data, say, after the big jumps. And if you look at the data file, you can see that jump happens around, well, it happens for this 17th data point. It's row number 18 because there's the first line is not data. So we might want to limit ourselves to the data that's between 18 and we look at the other end when we go above 3, between 88. So if we We can do that if we want by looking at a subset of this data. So we want the first data point to be the 17th data point, and the total number of data points to be, well, subtract 17 from 87, we get 60. 70 data points. And if I do a print, you can see that the last data point we have is the one that's just a little bit above 0.3, and the first data point is also a little bit above 0.3. And if I fit to this subset of data, I get slightly different values, right? Instead of this being 17605, now it's 17598. It's within errors one way or the other. And I get a more common reduced chi-squared. And if I do a screen dump, I can get what the errors are in these new sets of parameters. So if I want, I can plot all of this new stuff. So that's the new function, and this is our best value for those functions. Again, using copy and paste cut. Now, I don't want to plot this new line on top of the old one. It actually wouldn't look noticeably different. So I want to clear off everything that's there, redraw the border. I don't have to rescale because I haven't changed anything. Put in the data points, and then draw the function curve. Looks pretty much the same. You can see it's maybe being a little bit, it's not paying attention to these data points, so it's missing by more than it was before. Now if I want to get hard copy of this plot, all I need to do is to type pcopy, and I'm going to get that occurring on the printer. Okay, so typically we get out of these programs by typing Control D, but maybe before we do this, there's a couple of commands that are useful. One is the help command that prints out the set of commands that are applicable to the particular program, and it gives you some idea of how those things work. And the other useful command to maybe mention immediately is show, that shows all the values. So we might have forgotten what we set the function to. There it is, repeated again. These are the values of the fit results. Remember I said that when it did the bootstrapping, it was going to do 25 different values. So all of these numbers are adjustable, the file, where we're beginning, the number of data points, and we can control it that way. So I hope that's a good introduction to how to do this sort of plotting.